So the first question is, what have you specifically learnt about yourself and success from last week's class? And what actions have you taken in between? Take some time to answer that now. And how did you get on with noticing when you felt successful? And what was that like for you in terms of thoughts, feelings, images, and actions throughout the week? How often each day did you catch yourself being successful, really noticing it? And remember, in between each of these questions, the idea is that you'd stop the audio so that you can take all the time you need to answer them and then turn it back on again when you're ready. And as you caught yourself being successful each day, how did that feel? Were there any times that you caught yourself not being successful? If so, what did you do about that? Question 7. Were you able to share your definition of success with your supporter or your coach or your buddy? If you did, well done. But if no, what stopped you? What will you change this week? How did you celebrate your successful challenges? And the last question, how much closer are you to successfully achieving your chosen goals? Well, this week, as you know, we're going to be looking at seeing things from a positive perspective. And it's all about positive thinking and the benefits of thinking positively. Now, by positive thinking, I don't mean that you have to be positive all of the time, nor do you have to be unrealistic about problems or challenges that might come up for you in life. In fact, being positive all of the time could actually be a negative thing. You see, it could cause you to ignore signals that something needs your attention in an area of your life. Being positive all the time could be misconstrued by others as unrealistic or even egotistical. Being positive all the time could cause you to miss opportunities in order to learn from a situation or mistakes. It could even create communication problems when dealing with individuals who might not be as positive as you are. So being positive is an attitude of mind, and it determines your perception of life. It determines how you're going to react to situations and the problems that you come across and the people that you meet. It helps you to recognize how you see your world and how you see them in relation to your world. Now, as a positive thinker, you might find yourself managing your thinking effectively when challenges or problems come up. You might see a situation from a solutions perspective rather than from a problem perspective. You might learn from mistakes and challenges so that you can let go of the past and grow into the future. Being positive means you might try new things without worrying about failing. And being positive also means that you will expect a good outcome, but if you don't get it, you're going to know how to handle what does happen. Are you hearing how that's different to just being positive and going along with a Pollyanna attitude, which may cause you to actually miss things rather than learn or recognize them? So we're looking in this to support you in becoming clearer about how you operate at the moment, whether it's more towards negative than it is towards positive. And if you like the idea of being able to become more positive because you can learn from it, because you can let go of the past more easily, because you can try things without the anxiety and worry about failing, and that you can expect a good outcome, but know that if the outcome isn't good, that you'll look at it as a learning tool rather than as, oh, well, I better give up and not try again. Now, if you like that idea, then today's session is about supporting you with that. So what would you say your preferred style is? Are you a positive thinker? Or do you lean more towards negative thinking? Now, hopefully you will be clear. You will know how you operate. But if you don't, then we've got some exercises coming up to support you. And this isn't about you telling yourself lies or pretending that you're a positive thinker when actually you're not. Because it's not that it's wrong that you're a negative thinker. It's about how does that serve you? Is that making you as happy and successful and as confident as you'd like to be? And if it is and you're fine with it, then if it works, keep doing it. But if you're looking to perhaps move more towards being a little bit more positive because you think it would make you happier or more confident, etc., then that's what we're going to be doing in this session. So let me ask you, do you tend to see the opportunities in daily challenges, or are you more prone to being shut down or frozen by fear when challenges or different things come up? Just take some time to think about that and get in touch with your true answers. Remember that kinesiology testing technique I showed you? That one's really good here as well, because even if you're going yes, you could test and see if your unconscious agrees with you. So check these questions out. Does your mind chatter, your inner talk that we've already looked at, does that encourage and support you at times of challenge? Or does it drone on about the worst that could happen? Now, your answers could support you in better understanding why you might experience certain positive or negative emotions at times, and why you might feel slightly high or not so high, or start to feel a bit low on a daily basis. And it also might help you to highlight why you might find it easy or difficult to take action when it comes to goal setting, because how you perceive the world defines how your world will be. And of course, if you're not expecting a positive outcome, you may think it's better to stay safe, to stay in your comfort zone, to not actually take those actions, even though a part of you is screaming, do something, change something. I hope this is making sense to you. So working on having a positive outlook can help improve your self-esteem and your confidence. And research by a guy called Sean Acor says that being positive also increases your success rate. So we're building on last week. It also increases your business outcomes, if that's what you're into, your intelligence, your health and your creativity. Now, reading that, that looks like a good enough reason for me to consider changing my mindset and my attitude to a more positive one. Remember, we're not looking for it to be 100%. We're looking to increase it to support healthy changes in our thinking patterns. And of course, if you're interested in the law of attraction, which is too big a subject for me to cover fully in this workbook or this series, then you'll know that in order to bring more of what you want into your life, it's important to energetically vibrate at a positive level. Now that is easier said than done. And if you do like the law of attraction, if you do like metaphysics and you're into understanding more about energy and vibrations and how they work in order to bring what you want into your life, of course you've got to take action as well, then there's lots and lots of research that you can do. There's lots that you can look into, because just thinking that you're positive in your conscious mind isn't going to be enough. You actually have to start believing it, and your unconscious mind needs to believe it as well in order to make this vibrational experience become a reality. Now, there's reading and research you can do around that. There's David Hawkins, who does Map of Consciousness, and he tells you more about the vibrational levels. There's Jack Canfield, who also talks about energy levels and how to start to change them. You've got Asking Is Given, Hicks. And as well as that, there's also The Secret. But remember, fabulous DVD, fabulous story behind it. But remember, you've got to take action as well as thinking about manifesting stuff. So as long as you remember that, you should be fine with those. So you've got plenty there to go look into if you want to. Now, if you want to work at a higher energy level, at a positive level, you're going to need to work on negative mind chatter. You're going to need to work on limiting thoughts and beliefs. We've already been doing this, I know. You're going to need to notice what your negative habits and patterns are around your goals, as well as what your daily emotional states are. And the great news is, even if you consider yourself to be a little bit more towards pessimism than optimism, because of the work we've already done together early on in this program, by now you probably know what you don't want, which, as you know, means you can start to turn it around into what you do want. So you can start to move towards positive thinking already if you want to. And we've done quite a lot on that in previous sessions. But of course, it's important you remember the previous sessions aren't about you doing them once. They're about you remembering and doing them on a more regular basis. So working with your mind state, working with your negative chatter, can really help you to start to raise your attitude and mindset towards a more positive state. So let's get you thinking about how you see the world. In a moment, you're going to see in your workbook, there's a list of statements that you might be familiar with. I'm going to ask you to check which ones reflect your thoughts, generally speaking, in your life. So the question is, in general, when faced with a situation or problem, even if I'm initially taken aback a bit by it, I tend to see my glass as half full rather than half empty. You can tick these as a yes or cross them as a no. And remember to stop the audio if you need to think about these. I see obstacles in life as challenges to overcome rather than problems or impossibilities. I see difficulties as opportunities to grow and develop myself and my character. Remember, really check in and see if these are what you believe rather than what you'd like to believe. I see life as a journey of opportunity rather than a trial. I see the good in people rather than the bad. Now, that doesn't mean to say you're being naive. There's a saying that you get what you focus on. You might have heard that before. And so we've all got the potential to be nice or not so nice. And if we look for the not so nice in people, we will find it. But if we look for the good in people, we can encourage to bring that out in them, especially people who are close to us, our friends and our families and people that we love and care for. So looking for the good in them rather than the bad or the negative or whatever other word, because bad's a very extreme word there, then you might be able to start to find more of what you're looking for in people. So how do you see them at the moment? Because then you can look at how you'd like to see them in the future. I tend to see the good in myself rather than the bad in myself. Is that you? I learn from my mistakes. Is that true for you or false? I'm going to give it a tick or a cross. I see my experiences as opportunities to use for the future. I see the sunshine rather than the gloom. I see the good points of even the gloom, because there's so much learning to be found here. I see the upside of things whenever I can. I see the best in the present moment. I get over stuff fast and I don't dwell on the past. I learn from it. Now, how did you get on with those? The aim here is for you to get a clear perspective around how you think in general. This session isn't about criticising or condemning negative thinking. It's about you being honest with yourself about how you tend to think most of the time so that you can catch it, challenge it and change it if you want to. So take a moment and write the answer to the following questions below. What are the benefits of me thinking positively? Please take some time, think about that question and answer it. And if that question was too open or too big for you, you might say, what are the benefits of me thinking positively about? Then pick one of the three goals you've been working on and or pick an area of your life that you want to be more positive in at the moment. So you've got either the big open general question of what are the benefits of thinking positively, or you've got the two more focused, narrowed down ones. So make your mind up about whether that question was too general for you, and if it was, please answer one of the other two or answer all three. And now that you've answered that, specifically, how could thinking positively help me to improve? And then we've got areas of your life or your life in general or the area that you're working on around your goal. Take some time to answer that question, please. When you decide you want to make any change or set a new goal, you've got to be clear about the purpose behind doing that. You see, if you don't know why you want to think or be more positive, you might not take the necessary action to sustain it, and it could become another nice to have with no real change taking place. Believe it or not, I used to be quite a negative thinker. I struggled to find the good in or the lessons in situations many, many years ago. I found it easier to tell you about the one rainy day on holiday than about the 6 days of sunshine. It seems impossible now and such a long time ago, but it's how things were for me. I didn't mean to be a negative thinker. Do you know, I didn't even know I was. What I did know was that a lot of the time I didn't feel happy with the way I thought about things, but I didn't have the self-awareness to know what was going on. So it took me time to realise that thinking negatively helped me to avoid being disappointed. You see, if I didn't think about the good things, then I couldn't get disappointed. I could stay safe and small in my comfort zone, which I've talked about before. Whereas if I got myself all built up with excitement about what could happen, then there was a possibility that I might fail or I might be disappointed. And so I chose to play safe. Now, maybe the negative thinking was something I'd learned growing up. After all, who you hang out with most of the time impacts on your thoughts and beliefs about yourself. We know that. Or maybe I made an unconscious decision at some point that it was easier or better to think this way. But you know what? Whatever my reasons, I'm just so glad I found out about positive thinking and learned how to turn my negative thinking around. ACOS research says that a positive thinker leads to a happier individual. I know that's true now because I've been through that. So if you find that you are drawn to negative thinking a little bit more than towards positive, and I want to share with you that more people that I've worked with are drawn towards negative thinking than they are towards positive thinking. I just want you to know that. Now, if you are, what might be you avoiding by thinking in this way? Remember, my example was disappointment. What might yours be? You might need to take some time to think about that. And if you find that you aren't as positive as you'd like to be, and you know that there's ways to change your perspective and that we're going to look at them in this session today, I'd like you to answer these questions to support you in getting clearer about positive thinking and your patterns around it. So how do you know that you could do with improving your thinking to making it more positive? How would you know if you were a positive thinker? As always, remember, turn the audio off in between these questions. Do take time. They really need to think about these. These aren't like fast answers. These are questions that need your thought and consideration if you really want to be making change in your life. Who do you know who is a positive thinker? What skills or traits or capabilities do they have that you don't have? Which ones do they have that you do have? You might be surprised how many you have that are similar to theirs. if you were more positive in the way you think, what would you be saying or thinking differently to how you think now? What changes could positive thinking bring into your life? How could positive thinking support or change your levels of confidence or self-esteem? Please make sure you answer all of the above questions before you move on to the next part of today's session. So, what conclusion have you come to about you and positive thinking? One way to start to change your negative thinking and perspective is to become aware of it. So you need to do something about it, and you need to start to connect and surround yourself with more positive people. That's a really great way to start to change how you think and feel. Now, we've already looked at this in an earlier session. However, it's so important to remember and recognize the following simple steps if you want to start to become more positive. So we're doing a bit of a recap here. Step one, awareness. You need to be able to catch yourself being negative and then check in with it. Is the response, the negativity, a habit? If so, how's that benefiting you to think in a negative way? And being negative, what fears does that support for you? And maybe you're not being negative, maybe you're just being realistic. If that's true, how would you know? When you've got this experience and you think that maybe you're being negative, what could you learn from this situation or this negative thinking process? And are you taking part in catastrophic thinking? If so, what does this way of thinking give you? For example, maybe you're looking for a little bit of drama, excitement, or just attention. So getting clear about your thinking can give you enough awareness to allow you to move on to step two, which is, let's challenge. Challenge the negative thinking. What do you want instead of it? So identify this so that you can make some changes. And to do that, you need to do something different or new in order to get a different result. So to be successful in your goal of positive thinking, you may have to ask others to help you. And you might need to, if you find that you're surrounded by negative people, you might even have to find some new friends or people to hang out with some of the time to support you in developing this new positive way of being and thinking. Start looking for and connecting to positive people who you feel have got qualities and energy levels that you'd like more of for yourself. Strong, motivational, inspirational, positive individuals emit a positive stream of energy, and they are great to hang out with. But remember, like attracts like. So when you do find them, you're going to need to be aware of your intention to be more positive so that you can enjoy their company and start to allow their positivity to rub off on you. Because if you stay in a negative state in their company for too long, you might find they move on from you. It's worth thinking about. So ask yourself this. Where will you go to find positive people to hang out with so that you can start practicing being more positive yourself? What will you set as your intention the night before you're going to be meeting these people, or even the hour before? What about the morning of meeting with them? What intention will you set whilst you're hanging out with them, being present in the moment? What will the gains be for you? What might you learn from hanging out with more positive people? What would you expect to feel after being with a positive group compared to when you're with a more negative group? How could you maintain your positive feelings even when you're not with them, when you go back to other places that maybe aren't as positive? Remember what we did around state management. And when will you do something about the above questions and answers? Both positive and negative energy is contagious when it's one-on-one, and most definitely when it's in crowds or in groups. Those who pray together at a place of worship connect energetically with each other and with God. Sporting fans, like let's look at football, know the power of the crowd when cheering on their team. Thousands of individuals united as one, shouting, standing, groaning, cheering in unison. Fans at a music concert, singing, cheering, moving, shouting as one. If you've ever experienced any of these positive examples, you'll know that the feeling is electric, magnetic, trance-like, uplifting, and inspirational. However, if you've ever experienced a crowd from a negative perspective, depending on whether you were observing or taking part in it, you'll know that it can be frightening, that they can act without thought or fear of consequence. It can be really powerful, not necessarily in a positive way, filled with emotion. It can be mesmerizing, consuming, and have painful and disastrous outcomes. So they're very extreme cases that I've shared with you there, but I'm doing that on purpose to help you see how easy it can be to be caught up in the emotions and in the energy of those who surround you. And that can happen just in a one-on-one situation. But it can happen much faster and be more powerful as the numbers start to improve or increase. So if you're living with two or three negative people, if you're working with multiple negative people, even if you are a positive person, your positivity can quite easily and quickly be eroded. Now, I'm going to ask you to think carefully about who you hang out with most of the time. However, I also know that if you live with negative people, there isn't a great amount you can do because you can only control yourself. You can't control them. And if you work with negative people, again, you can't make them change. What you can do is notice your own energy. What you can do is start to protect it. What you can do is notice as and when it becomes influenced. And this is what state management strategy elicitation is all about. And we've already covered some of that. You also need to notice what's happening to you, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and if you're allowing them to start to creep into your positive energy. Even doing that can make all the difference between you being dragged down and feeling a victim and out of control, or even though you can't stay perhaps as positive as you'd like to, just by noticing, you can start to protect that space around you. You may not be your usual happy, bouncy self, but you won't allow yourself to be as pulled down as you might have done in the past. So we're going to look at that a bit more in a minute. But here's some positive tips if you want to move from a place of negative thinking to a more upbeat one. Start by looking at your daily routine and find new ways to change it. So one great tip is to break routine. This is just so that you can recognize how easy it is to break habits and how you can start to bring a bit more variety and a bit more difference into your life. And this is in terms of the things that you do. So for example, if you always go to work the same way, find a different route that you can take, either driving or on public transport. Yes, okay, it might take a little bit longer and you might think, well, what's the point? But the thing is that research shows that breaking routines can have a very positive impact on us. And that way you've got two or three different ways to get to where you're going to. Now, if you've got set meals, I used to have some friends who had set days for shopping and for housework and the same meal every Monday and every Tuesday, etc. If you've got that, start to mix them up. So if you've usually got routine that's a very, very set way of doing things, just see if you can put in a little bit of change. Maybe change Tuesday's meal for Mondays or Wednesdays for Fridays or something like that. Again, doing that is another way of tiny steps towards doing something different and, believe it or not, starting to feel more positive. You need to notice your efforts. You need to enjoy doing them, knowing that it is a step towards a positive mindset. And this is something that I was taught many years ago by a psychotherapist, and it was amazing how it made some difference to my state of mind and place I was in at the time, the work I was doing when I was studying psychology. And it's really effective, even though it might seem a little bit unusual, so give it a go. Okay, next thing. Step two, when bad things or events happen, before you lapse into your old way of thinking, stop, catch yourself, notice what's going on for you, and then put yourself into a positive physical state. Then consider the problem or situation. So when you've managed your state, ask yourself, what just happened? What real impact will what just happened have on me and my situation? What's within my control to handle the outcome? How bad is what just happened on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being, it's not really that awful, and 10 being, it couldn't be worse. What can you learn from the situation? Is there anything you could do to prevent it ever occurring again or prevent it from not occurring too often? If so, what could you do? And what responsibility will you take for what happened? By finding the learning in any negative situation and looking at the positive opportunities, it's a great approach when you want to start to move from a negative mindset to a more positive one. For some of you, working with a coach on this will be much easier than doing it by yourself. So give it a go and see how you find it. Try it by yourself, try it with your coach or your buddy, etc. And then see what works best for you. I'm able to do that really well by myself, but it's also nice sometimes to talk these things through with others. Remember, outside influences will always occur. They're always going to be happening. What your brain does is it looks for a pattern match to whatever's going on in order to see how should it respond. If it finds a match, and this is all unconscious, you don't even know this is going on. This is happening hundreds of thousands of times every day, if not millions. But if it finds one based on a past experience or based on teachings or lessons or on those decisions that you made in the past, or if it finds a match to your values and your beliefs, it starts to cause an emotional response within you. And that then manifests into you having a thought about that experience or situation. That can be positive or negative, depending on everything I've just listed for you. Now, this is called the APET theory. You'll see that in your workbook. And this response, thought, experience has got vibration. And according to the law of attraction, like we've already said, what you vibrate for a given period of time, so you will attract into your life. Now, there's a book called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. I think it's Lynn Grabhorn that talks more about this idea. And there's some bits of it that are quite strong and could provoke negative reaction in some readers. So you need to know that. There's a couple of bits I remember reading and not agreeing with. But again, if you do decide you want to read this book or any of the other books, be aware that it's somebody's point of view. It doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's fact. So if you disagree with certain aspects of the theory, absolutely fine. But it's a very easy to read book. So you might want to look that one up. But again, you know my philosophy on this. Please go pick it up, go look at it if you can, read the first chapter, see if it talks to you, because it's such a shame to buy books that you go, it's not really for me. So what energy forces do you want to attract into your life? Get clear now about the type of forces that you want to bring into your life. Do that now, please. If you don't know what that means, give it some thought, talk it over with someone else, and get some meaning around what might that question be for you. So changing your energy and your vibrational level is the same as any other goal. It's possible to work towards it if, as you already know from previous exercises, you become aware of how you're currently operating, you identify and then know what you don't want, you do know what you want instead, we've done that, you think about what you want and write it as a goal, you believe it's possible and that you know you can have it, you ensure it's about you and not others. I know we've said this before, only person we can really change is ourselves. You give it a subjective date by when you'd like it to be true. This is goal setting we're doing here, isn't it? You want it 10 out of 10, focusing on the positive want rather than on the lack of want. You're willing to take regular action on it, and you forgive yourself if you forget or get things wrong. Learn from them and then choose to do something or different or better next time. Now, recent research has showed that those who were looking to lose weight and forgave themselves when they slipped up with their diet were more likely to lose weight than those who were angry with themselves. The aim of the following exercise is to help you to gain a greater understanding about your energy levels. Have you noticed that certain people, places and situations can cause you to feel energized and uplifted? Equally, are there people, places and situations that cause you to feel down or drain your energy? Maybe you want to just give that a thought. Now that you've been thinking about that, we'll do something with it in a short while. But let's look at what energy is. I'm told it can't be seen, and yet it's everywhere around us, and everything is made up of energy. And although there are many kinds of energy, I want to mention just two broad categories to you. That's potential energy and kinetic energy. Now, potential energy is stored energy. It's waiting to do something. It's got the potential to make something happen. Whereas kinetic energy is doing energy. It actually makes things move or happen. In science, we're told that we can't actually create or destroy energy. All we can do is convert it from one form into another. And human beings have the potential to be filled with or drained of energy. Often, that can be linked to how they think, feel, or react to a situation or person. Their environment and who they hang out with on a regular basis is really impactful as to whether they're going to feel uplifted or whether they're going to feel drained. Now, a lot of time, we're reacting to the energy of other people and environments that are around us. Have you ever had the experience where you were in an okay or a neutral state or even a good state? I had this happen to me yesterday, actually. And then you walk into a room and you either know something's up, even though nobody's saying anything, or you suddenly think, whoa, something's going on here. I came in here feeling great, but my energy is starting to go. Now, you might go home afterwards and say to your family or your friends or partner, you know, gosh, that place I was in, you could actually cut the atmosphere with a knife. Or maybe you say something else. That's quite a familiar, well-known statement to say that we've recognised there's something not right in the energy that we've been involved in. Now, as you think about it, if you have had such an experience, how did that experience impact on your neutral or your good mood? Were you able to maintain it? Or did you find yourself being affected by the energy in the room? It's really difficult, even for people like myself who've been working with energy for a little while, to maintain that positive energy day after day after day if we're constantly surrounded by negative people and negative situations. I am going to share with you some ways that you can do it. But like I mentioned yesterday, I was involved in a group that took me by surprise completely. I went along to this particular gathering expecting it to be kind of neutral, exploratory, sharing of information, and it was incredibly dark and heavy in terms of topic. And I'd gone in feeling really uplifted and really upbeat, which I am most of the time, and I suddenly, well, suddenly, within 5 minutes or so, thought, I shouldn't be here. This isn't the right place for me to be. The energy is absolutely thick in terms of weight and in a negative way. I started to put into place some of the exercises I'm going to share with you to protect my own personal space and energy from what was coming at me and towards each of the other people in the group. And I made a decision that I would not be rejoining that group again for meetings or for further information. It just wasn't right for me. They were really happy with each other in terms of what was going on energetically wise, the other people in the group. Great people, great stuff going on, just the energy and the topics were incredibly heavy. So if I hadn't have known, as in the past I didn't, how to put some barriers in place, I could have come out there feeling really drained, really low, and quite sad as well. However, as soon as I got out, I just felt so free, so liberated, and so happy that I was going to be able to get myself back up in a good place, which I did quite quickly. And I used the escalators in the underground, quite steep ones, to pretty much run up them to get rid of some of this stored energy that I'd had from this meeting. So I'm going to be encouraging you to think of ways that you can shake off, literally shake off, any negative energy that you might have from the people you were thinking about just a few minutes ago when I asked you that question, or the situations you might find yourself in. So what do you do when you find yourself being affected by negative energy? And I don't mean it's bad energy, it's just that it's doom and gloom, or it's sad, or it's heavy, or it's all about what can't be done rather than what can be done. Perhaps you consider removing yourself, like I did, from the situation as quickly as you can. Maybe you go outside and take a deep breath. I most certainly did that yesterday, and thank your lucky stars to be out there. Or maybe you've got no choice. We know that you do really have a choice, but maybe you do what I also did, which was stay in that particular place. I could have got up and walked out. That would have seemed very rude to me, and it wasn't necessary to do that. So maybe you find you stay, but you're quieter than usual. Or maybe you adapt your mood to fit that of those around you, which is what so many of us do, and then end up being affected by the atmosphere or the people around you. Now, when you know what you do, and you already know this from the other sessions we've done, you will become more aware and you will be able to interrupt your old patterns. The problem with negative surroundings or negative people or people that bring us down, problem with that isn't them, it's us. Because what we do is we get hooked into their energy stream and we allow them to take us along on the ride. We drop into victim mode when we don't recognise what part we're playing in it. So take a moment and remember, if you can, a recent experience, but if you can clearly remember one from the past that's further back, that's okay too. So take a moment and remember an experience where maybe you were neutral, or even maybe you weren't. Maybe you weren't feeling great and you moved yourself into a situation, or you met somebody who took you even further down if you weren't great to start with. Or if you were neutral or happy, you noticed how you just started to drop and feel like, oh, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm no longer feeling good or happy. So take a moment and find one of those, please, and then turn the audio back on when you've got one. So as you recall it, what can you learn from the memory? Now, by that, I'm asking you to think about, what did you notice as you remember it? So how were you feeling? Or what were you thinking? Or what were you seeing around you? And at what point did you notice the energy wasn't right for you? And now that you're aware of that, what will you do to make sure, if you have that same experience again, that you don't allow it to impact on your energy? Just take a moment, please, and get clear about that, and then turn the audio back on when you're ready. So those around us can and do impact upon and affect our mood and our energy. And if you want to become a more positive thinker, it's going to be important for you to become aware of your starting place. You've got to become aware of who's around you right now. What kind of environment are you working and living in? And I'd even say it's really important for you to learn how to protect your energy, which we're going to do in a short while, so that you have more control over your mind and body as well as your actions. So if you don't know what's going on, you might find yourself struggling to change your mindset and continue to feel drained on a regular basis. But you've got to get clear about whether you are feeling drained or not before you can know what's going on for you. Equally, find yourself in the right situation and you're going to feel uplifted and boosted, even if you went in feeling a little bit low, unless, of course, you're resistant to that or you refuse to allow yourself to feel that. So when it comes to moving into a positive mindset, if you could start to identify people and situations who boost you, maybe you could have more of them in your life. And if you can identify who contributes towards you feeling less positive, it could help you just to see less of them, or only see them when you feel strong and in control with protection in place. See, the great thing is, as you already know, being aware gives you choice. So let's move you into an exercise. Remember, all the exercises we do when we're including other people is about us learning. It's never about criticism or judgment of others. So I'm going to ask you to write out a list of all the people that you spend a fair bit of time with, including your closest family, friends, and people at work if you're at work. And then add in any other important people that you hang out with or you hang around with. You'll find this exercise in your workbook if you're not using it to follow along. So please stop the audio and do that exercise now. Fully complete it before you turn it back on. Okay, welcome back. Now you've got your list of people, write a few words to describe the main characteristics of each of those people. Now, if you've got 50 people written down, you might not want to do all of that now, but I would recommend that you prioritize the people that you hang out with most, the people who have the most impact on you, and certainly, even if it's 10, write a few words to describe the main characteristics of each person. Now, characteristics being the good stuff as well as the stuff that you notice isn't so positive in terms of interaction with them. So there's always plus and there's always minus in all of us. And it's about recognizing all the different facets of people. But it's how these people are impacting on you. And remember, you're letting them make you feel that way. That's important for you to remember. No one can make you feel anything you don't want to feel or don't think you deserve to feel. And sometimes the things that we feel or because they're pressing buttons from the past, from other people who made us feel drained or negative, etc. Or it could be a part of any other, it could be any other aspect of our psychology makeup. However, all we're looking at is a few characteristics, a few, I don't know what that means to you, three or four plus, maybe not so positive, so that you get clear about how you think you see these people. Do that now, please. Now, what emotional states do you feel when you're around them? So that was question 1 and 2. Write a few words and then write down the effects each person has on you, both positive and negative. So we've done that. Now, what emotional states do you feel when you're around them? For example, do you feel angry and irritated or drained or uplifted, tired, energized? What kind of emotional states do you find yourself being in most of the time when you're around the people that you've chosen for this exercise? Now, this question, next question, might seem similar, but what behaviours or traits do they bring out in you? So we looked at the emotional states you feel, but what behaviours or traits do you think these people bring out in you when you hang out with them? And do you find that you behave differently with each of the people you've listed above, or do you find that it's the same behaviours and traits and emotions that you have for each one of them? Just take some time and get very clear. Again, this is your self-awareness and your strategy. How do you operate around the people you've selected? And if you do behave differently, then get clear about how. How is it different? So looking at your list still, just go through each one and ask yourself, does being with them usually make you feel good about yourself? Because even though you might have some negative stuff going on around them, maybe you hang out with them because actually they still make you feel pretty good about yourself. So go through each one and check. And if that's a yes, that's fantastic, that's wonderful. But if it's a no, how does hanging out with each one of them make you feel? And you might find it similar to the emotional states we've already looked at, or you might find you'll get some different answers to this. Obviously, I'm having to ask you questions that might seem similar to you because it's on an audio. If we were together, I'd be able to check from your answers whether that question was an appropriate one to ask you or not. So take some time and just see if that makes any sense to you. Now look at the list. I want you to identify, who do you feel heard and seen by? Now, you already know that part of our human needs is to feel significant. And even if you don't like that word, it means that we feel important to somebody, that they really care about us, and that they make us feel important in terms of being seen and heard. So do the people you've listed make you feel that you are heard, that you are seen? Because sometimes we'll hang out with negative people because even though they are negative, they listen to us. They make us feel important. And if we're going to look to change hanging out with them, then we need to realise the good things they give us as well, so we can go find them in maybe a different way. Which of the people do you have fun with? Now, fun might not be the right word for you. It might be enjoyment, it might be happiness, it might be contentment. But I'm looking for a positive word here, something where you might laugh with them or something where they make you feel good. So fun's not right, please change that word. Which of those people do you have a good time with? And who do you feel you have to be there for, but really you'd like to escape from? So there's more duty, or there's maybe I should be, or I ought to be, or I must be hanging out with this person rather than I really want to be. So take some time to look at your list and come up with an answer to that question for each one of them. And what messages or conversations or stories do each of those people convey to you on a daily basis? Now by that, is it, and we're going to look at it in a percentage, is it like a 50-50 positive-negative mix? Is it 20-80 positive-negative mix? Look at percentages in terms of positive and negative around messages, conversations and stories so that you can again get clearer about maybe the person that you thought was number one negative person. You might think, actually, you know, that's about 50-50. We actually have quite a lot of fun together and some laughs now and again. And it might be that the person who was number 10 on your list is the most draining for you. Until you do these questions, it's not going to be as clear. So please take some time to do that for each person now as well. So what did you discover by doing that exercise? Were there any surprises? Who did you discover drained you the most? When did this person first start to drain you? How did you allow that to continue? What is it about them that makes you feel drained, that makes you allow yourself to be drained by them? How can you use your new awareness to deal with or handle relationships that you have with people who drain you? We're not looking to get rid of these people, not unless you want to. That can be very difficult, though. We could end up with absolutely nobody. But we are looking at how can we be more aware so that we can put something in place so we can still hang out with them without allowing them to touch us with their negativity. And as you look at your list, are there any specific actions you could take to reduce or remove the draining people from your life? So it might not be removing for you, but it might be reducing so that you can start to put more positive people in your life. And that, these things take time, especially when we've got friendships or family involved. And now what about this? What about you? Do you drain you with negative thoughts and thinking? I wonder if you're your biggest energy stealer. I wonder how that question hits you. And I wonder how your energy and your mental state impact on others around you. Might you be on somebody's draining list? Just take a moment and check those questions out. So some of my clients, they shared that until they did the above exercise, they hadn't realised how many of the people that they worked and lived with were negative and how that impacted on their mental state, but how they actually ended up, when they thought about it, draining other people because they took all that negative stuff to others to complain and moan and groan about it all, which in fact impacted on their friends and their family as well. And just knowing this can be very helpful. Later on, we're going to look at ways to protect it, as I've said to you, so you can start to hang out with some of those people who might be negative some of the time if it's necessary, but without being dragged down into a negative state yourself. So I'm sure you'll be looking forward to those exercises. Now, if you discover that you have wonderfully positive people surrounding you, do you know it'd be a great time to let those people know often how much you value them and how lovely it is to hang out with them? It's interesting how sometimes we forget to thank those around us when they do well or are uplifting to be around, but how easy it is to find the negatives in people. I know that I still work on this myself, even though I see the positive in people. I still have to remind myself every now and again when I start to notice the negatives that the fabulous people I have in my life and how lucky I am, and how I've been able to change and move from that place of negativity to probably 75-80% positivity, which for me is absolutely fine, as I think I've shared with you already. So praising and acknowledging the positive individuals you have in your life will not only raise their spirits, but it's going to raise yours as well. And these small steps are always forward in developing and maintaining a positive mindset. Because as Gandhi's quoted as saying, in order to change the world, I have to change myself first. I personally know that's true. He's also quoted as saying, you must become the person you want the world to be. And that's part of what this program is for me and the other work that I do, helping both myself and others to become the people they want to be so they can step into and see the world that they want to see. Now you're clearer about the people in your life, let's take a look at the draining issues or topics that you have in your life. So, back to your workbook, list the top five issues, the goals or the topics that drain you on a regular basis. So you might have stuff going on in your life, you might have goals, actually, remember, I hope you haven't got any of these by now, but they might be shoulds and have-tos. They will drain you. There might be topics in your life that you're doing out of duty. That's okay. You might have chosen to do that. And if you haven't moved to the place of choice, then you might still be struggling with that and feel drained by it. Or there might just be issues in your life. This isn't people now. There might be issues in your life that you've got to do on a regular basis. Notice I'm saying got to because we know that there's choice, but we might make the choice that we've got to. But you've got to do them on a regular basis and you find that they drain you. Please write down your top five. If you've got more, that's fine. If you've got slightly less, of course, that's fine as well. But write down what drains you in terms of topics, goals, and issues. Now, looking at each one, ask yourself, how have I allowed these issues and goals to become a drain? What is it about them that makes me feel drained? This is really huge self-awareness. Are there any specific actions I could take to reduce or remove the draining issue? Please don't just say yes or no. Really think about it. What specific actions could you take in order to reduce or remove the draining issue? It might even just be your mindset. It might just be your attitude. I don't think I've mentioned a little book called Fish yet. It's a tiny book, and that's very much about attitude towards work, towards life. So it's another one that you might want to look in your bookstore at and then see. You could actually read it in under an hour, see whether you like it or not. It's a great little book to have, a nice little uplifter when we feel drained. And what benefits are there in continuing to allow the draining goal or issues in your life? You've got to look at the benefits. There will be reasons why you allow this to happen. It could just be that you've let things go, that you've turned a blind eye, that you've ignored stuff, that you're fearful of change. But if that's true, what are the benefits of that? So turning a blind eye means I don't have to face up to conflict. That's a benefit. That's going to keep you doing what you're doing. Maybe you like an easy life and therefore it's easier to just ignore stuff than to face it. And if you don't like change, well, sometimes, you know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't is a well-known quote. Sometimes we think that what we're going to go to probably won't be any better. By the way, that doesn't mean that's true. So we might as well stay with what we know, because at least if we're going to do something that's not great, well, let's do the things that aren't great that we know rather than the things that might come along that will be scary or take up our time. So get clear about your benefits, please. And what need do these draining issues meet in you? And I've given you a list in your workbook. You know, it might make you feel like a bit of a martyr. I'd be surprised how important that is to some people. You see, if we're a martyr, we've got significance and we can be victims and we can blame other people. It's not our fault, it's someone else's fault. We might be rescuers. It might give us some attention. Or we might quite like being moany, because of course moany gets us attention again. A lot of this is about attention. Might make us feel needed, because then we can connect with others who moan and groan. And there's nothing wrong with a bit of moan now and again. But if we're doing it constantly, it's draining us, it's draining others, it's trapping us in our brain. It's making it be our reality. It's keeping us stuck. Maybe we like a bit of drama. So many people I've worked with love a bit of drama. And of course, being positive isn't very dramatic. And a lot of young people I work with, they love the drama of friendship breakups and, oh my goodness, guess what happened to me? And again, this all comes back to significance, attention, and importance. If you recognise this, it's not a bad thing. It's just that how can we get you that significance, attention and importance in a good way? Maybe it's comfort for you. Maybe that's a need. Maybe it's certainty. Again, not having to worry about change. Maybe it's about something else. Really important for you to get clear about what are the benefits and the need that is met for you. We've done benefits already. What's the need that's been met for you by hanging on to these issues that drain you? So now you're more aware of people and goals or issues in your life that drain you. What would cause you to allow them to remain in your life? What would cause you to do that? Because now you've got choice. Now you know. And what would cause you to allow them to continue to drain your energy? You might need to take some time to answer that question. Now you've got that, what actions can you take to change how you think or see about each of the current situations you've listed? Who might you go ask for help? And when will you take action? My last question on this. How will you feel when you've taken action on the most important draining influences? This is a big topic. This is going to take you time. If you've just listened to this, please stop the audio, go back and answer these questions. This is really important to help you to start to move towards being more positive. This is on the continuum. We've got one end, which is very negative, the other end, which is totally positive. And what's really great about this exercise is it's steps towards becoming more positive. This great self-awareness will allow you to choose to be at cause rather than at effect. So think carefully about your answers. Now, if you do choose to keep the draining influences and people in your life, remember, go back and look at the session on choice. It might be a really good time to go and visit it now, because if you choose to, you will release the negative energy. If you choose to do the draining things, you're choosing. Remember, if you choose to keep the negative people around you and to engage with them as often as you currently are, then as long as you're protecting yourself and as long as you're aware of what you're doing, you can still maintain your positive attitude. Remember, I said it's not about getting rid of anything. I never work with getting rid of stuff. Purely about awareness so that you have more choice. Now, with all of this self-awareness, what can you do in order to ensure that in the future you don't attract more negative or draining issues or people into your life? So what can all this teach you so that you'll be able to identify future friends, future situations, and even if you keep the ones you've got, the situations and the friends and the people, you won't bring any more of it into your life? Please make sure you commit to taking action on your above answers, that you do this exercise before we move into the next part of today's session. So here's a little bit about draining issues and blame. Part of your personal development journey needs to include an exercise around the draining issues and the blame if you're ever to free yourself from past habits and move into healthier times with renewed energy. Having identified what drains you gives you more choice to change or accept circumstances and situations. I hope you found that it's an empowering experience. So if you continue to accept or allow the draining issues to remain in your life, then it's important to remember that you had choice. I've said this already, haven't I? And that you choose to let it stay. With that knowledge, you can avoid falling into the negative victim mentality of blame or martyrdom by reminding yourself of all this at any time you find yourself complaining about a person or a situation. As I've said, you can still change the situation, but blame, whether it's blaming others or circumstances or yourselves, that keeps you stuck where you are. Blame stops you from learning. Blame gives your power and responsibility away to other people. Blame lets you off the hook. It keeps you trapped. Blame drains you, and it drains other people too. There's very little possibility of good communication when we're in a place of blame. So in order to move on from blame or from draining issues, you might need to learn to let go. Now, letting go for so many of us is a huge challenge. We have to be ready. We have to consciously and unconsciously, energetically and physically be ready to let go. And instinctively, I'm going to guess you'll know whether you're ready to let go of a draining issue or from blaming somebody or not. And sometimes we just need to move through a learning cycle before we can be ready. It takes time. Now, letting go might mean acknowledging that either a situation didn't work or a relationship has to come to an end. And these are tough things for us to accept and to move on from sometimes. And again, it's a time issue for so many of us. When you do find yourself ready to let go of a draining person or a situation, consider asking yourself questions, a bit like those that follow. And you might want to come up with some of your own questions as well. Select a draining issue and then ask yourself the following. Turn the audio off, and when you've got a draining issue, ask these questions. When did I accept this? When did I accept this was how the draining situation or relationship had to be? What caused me to allow this person or situation to remain in my life for so long? Where have I been avoiding my responsibility to change the situation? Maybe I was looking for someone else to do that for me so that I didn't have to be the bad person. What is it that makes it easier to stay with the situation rather than deal or face it? Who have I been blaming for this current situation? What could I do to change the situation or the relationship? What's the first step? Any other actions that I need to take to make change happen? What would the consequences of taking that action or making that change be? How could I win? What would I lose? With that in mind, what's the best decision for me? Now, what can I learn from this exploration so that I can move on from it? Check your answer carefully. You're going to get a sense of yes or no. You can either trust that or you could use the kinesiology testing that I showed you in previous weeks. Now, if you're not ready to let go of this issue, check out what you gain by keeping hold of it. And when you know what the gains are, remember it gives you choice. So you can either continue to keep the situation an issue without any bad feelings because you know that you're going to just hold on to it. And remember, it might just be a little bit more time needed. Or you can decide to move on to the next stage, starting to let go. If you have decided you want to let go, think of the area, situation or person that you're going to work on first. Then list all the things you'd need to let go of in order to be able to move on. So it could be that you need to move on from some emotional stuff or some memories. There might be some feelings that you need to work with. You might have made decisions that it's time to shift and just free yourself from. Or you might energetically be attached to that person and you might need to cut the cords, metaphorically speaking, to set them free and set yourself free as well. So do this exercise now. Look at the above list. Look at what you want to let go of. Check whether you're ready to or not. Okay, next stage. Ask yourself, what will you have to do in order to be able to let go of this? How willing are you going to be to let go? Mark it on that scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I'm not ready and 10 being I'm definitely ready. And again, the kinesiology test could help you to see whether your conscious answer is the right one for you. Then notice your reactions to your answer. What's your resistance level? What will you do with this information? Please write this up and come up with an action list now. And this might be something really valuable to take into a coaching session if you weren't able to do it by yourself. If you were, congratulations. But if not, take this into your coaching session so you have that support. And when you've done that, look at all the other items on your list and move through the same process so that you can really start to move on and let go from these draining situations that you've had in your life. Now, when you have the answers to the above questions, use them to help you make an informed decision about your current draining situation. Doing this can allow you to find a new way to think and operate, which could free you up to feel more energized, which will help you to become more positive. Looking at draining situations in this way and asking questions which give you more insight can really help you to find your patterns. And you already know about that. And with this information to hand, you may be less likely to repeat the same mistakes again in the future, should a similar situation occur. Now, in this empowering state, you can learn from the past, develop your new awareness and your new skills, and grow into the positive individual you want to be. The alternative, of course, is to avoid stage 4 of Kolb's learning cycle. That's the reflection and the learning stage. And if you choose to avoid it, you might ask yourself questions such as, how did this happen to me? Why does it keep happening to me? What was I thinking? Where did I go wrong? Why me? Now, those are good questions to ask, but if you don't move on from them, if they're the only types of questions you ask, they're going to keep you stuck in the past. You're not going to move anywhere. You're going to continually repeat the same mistakes, and they'll maybe even drag you down towards poor me syndrome, which is victim mentality. And dare I say it, you could be an energy drain to other people by not shifting out of and on from those very stuck questions. So now you've thought about the blame and drain approach, it's time for you to revisit the list of people and situations that you identified as draining you. Decide which person or situation you want to handle first. Ask yourself the questions, take the topic to your coaching session, and start to make the changes you desire happen. Doing this will really help you to become aware. It'll empower you, and it will move you towards your personal power. Please set aside at least 30 minutes and start working on this. Even if you don't want to do them all, see if you can do 2 or 3 so that you can really get the hang of it, the most important ones. So now you're clearer about draining issues and how they affect you. Take some time to share with your coach or your body what your new understanding consists of and what you'll do to reduce or remove these influences from your life. So we're at the end of this week. plenty for you to be getting on with there. I'm sure you'll agree. Next week, as I mentioned, we're going to be protecting your energy. I'll be giving you some exercises to support you with that, help you to stop feeling drained. And today what we did was we had questions as always. We looked at seeing things from a positive perspective. We talked about how you could connect to positive people. I gave you some tips for positive thinking. We looked at energy levels, draining issues and blame. And we also looked at an exercise on how to let go. And I reminded you about the kinesiology check. Your personal development exercises for this session were the benefits of thinking positively, the difference positive thinking can make, helping you to get clear about influences others can have on your energy and you on them. Looked at people you hang out with, how you're affected by energy. We looked at draining issues and topics, and also working on those issues and topics. And then that very last exercise, as I've mentioned, around letting go. So this week, your optional extra is going to be what feelings have surfaced from you exploring what's draining you. That's the resentment, anger, sadness, things like that. What surfaced for you? I'm going to ask you to consider what could happen if you decide to hold on to these feelings and you don't deal with them. Also, how could you release those issues? I've mentioned things to you in the past that you could consider, and there's lots of different things. There's things like physical exercise, a very simple one, going for a run, obviously if you're healthy, going to the gym, there's kickboxing, there's jumping on the trampoline or the rebounder that I've mentioned before, there's punching pillows, as long as you don't destroy them and have feathers go everywhere, but hey, maybe that would be therapeutic. There's so many exercises you can do, and in bioenergetics it's quite important that people physically get out of their body the anger or the sadness by punching or hitting something that doesn't hurt them or hurt anyone. So exercise and kickboxing and punching, those big bags that boxers practice with, things like that, really good to get out that trapped energy. So how could you release those issues? We've also got things like EFT and TFT, which you know I've talked about before, and talking therapies within reason. There's research that suggests that if you talk too much about stuff that makes you feel low or sad or depressed or emotional, you're actually anchoring it in again. Now, there will be some of you listening who will disagree with that, because, of course, as you know, I share with you, these are just theories. But I have been reading stuff recently that says, depending on what the issue is, it's sometimes not good to talk too much about the issue or problem. Yes, by all means, talk about it, but if you keep doing it, you're reminding yourself and you're reinforcing in your brain that this is how your reality is. So please think about how you could release the emotional issues. Part of the optional extra, list everything you currently feel resentful about. Dictionary definition is show or feel indignation at or be aggrieved at. So it could be people, situations, circumstances. Write a list until it starts to feel silly. This can be really good to get off your chest. What makes you angry? Dictionary definition is extreme or passionate displeasure. So write a list until it starts to feel silly. Again, get it off your chest. This list will help you to start to let go of unhelpful feelings, and it'll really help you to move on. Now, write down everything you're grateful for. We're going to look at this more in week 16, but writing down everything you're grateful for is a really useful task. And as I was taught by a wonderful person once, you cannot feel grateful and angry or resentful at the same time. So it's very useful to have that list ready for week 16. Lastly, write down all the things that make you happy. You might be surprised at just how many there are. So your questions for this week. This week, as I think about my top three goals, I will be aware of any negative thinking or draining influences that there might be around them. Each day, I'm going to ask myself, how often did I feel drained or negative today in any way around my goals or in life in general? And what did I do when I discovered this? Have I given my personal power away today? If so, who did I give it away to? When do I give it away? What situations or people did I find freed me up and gave me energy? Were there any that didn't, that took it away? What am I doing each day to feel and act positive? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I want to feel or be positive every day? As always, you have your weekly action plan, and that's in your workbooks where you're going to write a sentence about what you're working on right now. This is reinforcing where you are and the steps you're taking to move yourself closer. And then, of course, recapping on what you've done over the past weeks to take you closer to your goal, writing your progress as well. I hope you've enjoyed today's session. It's a really important part of moving yourself towards a more positive place and starting to bring more of what you want into your life. I've really enjoyed sharing it with you, and I wish you a fabulous week as always. I look forward to talking to you again same time next week. And in the meantime, take care.